Will you join me now in our call to worship? O Lord, you have reached down from on high and taken hold of me.
You have drawn me out of deep waters. You have saved me.
You have rescued me from my powerful enemy.
From all my foes and even invisible enemies who have been too strong for me.
I have been confronted and felt like the day of my disaster was upon me. But the Lord was my support. He is my salvation.
He brought me out into a spacious and beautiful place.
He rescued me because he delighted in me. I shall keep the ways of my Lord. Will you now join with me in singing our hymn of praise, number 295, Come Christians Join to Sing.
Come Christians join to sing, Alleluia. Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia. Amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Alleluia. Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Alleluia. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Psalm 16, verses 7 through 11. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Our second reading comes from Acts 2, verses 22 through 32. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Our last reading comes from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Hey kids, this is a crazy time, isn't it? Being locked up in the house. We need to take care of each other, and we need to take care of Grandma and Grandpa. That's why we stay home. We'll get out of this soon, I hope. And it will be okay. But for now, we need to watch out for everybody, all of our loved ones, all of our friends, and all of our friends at school that we haven't seen in a while. You know, we also need to take care of our dogs and cats. Some of you have dogs and cats, don't you? Some of you have both. Some of you have pets with names like Rudy, Luffy, Bailey, or even Melvin. We have a cat named Sammy, and God made all the animals just like he made all of us. We get to take care of them. It's a special duty for us, and it's fun. I have a different animal here. In fact, I have a bird. And do you know what kind? I'm gonna go get her. You just wait right there. Don't leave. I'll be right back. Coming back. And look who we have here. Look at here. This is Ralph. This is Ralph. Hi, Ralph. Ralph is a scarlet macaw. She's a kind of parrot. Her name is Ralph, and you keep hearing me say her, and her name is Ralph. She was given as kind of a rescue to my daughter, who works in a veterinary clinic. And they thought she was a boy. She was 19 years old when we got her. And then she got all happy with us, didn't you, Ralph? And she started laying eggs. And the veterinarian said, "That's a girl." "You're a girl."
"Yeah."
"And her name is Ralph. And she likes her name. She likes it." Anyway, she's now about 24 years old. And she'll live to be about 75. So guess what? I need to have her in my will because she'll still be here, won't you, Ralph? You talking to us this morning? Yeah. I know. And her feathers, you see her feathers coming off there? That's called molting. So it's kind of like the leaves in the fall. Things come off and then you get a new one, don't you? And she's fun. She likes to talk a lot, don't you, Ralph? And she also loves music. I know. How you doing? See, she comes over and says hi to me. Look at you. Come here. Come here. Yeah. She's not biting me. This is the way that she shows her affection. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so I just want to show you what's one of her most fun things to do. So here we go, Ralph. What do you think of this? What's that, Ralph? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What do you think, Ralph? It's a song for you. She normally dances. We'll see if it happens. You mind dance? Come on. Yeah. Okay, Ralph. All right. Yeah. Okay, well, at least maybe this isn't your favorite music. Okay, you like it, though. Okay, well, we'll cue it down. We'll cue it down. There you go. Maybe that's a little better. Okay. Anyway, she's all excited today. And we thought we would talk to you a little bit about God's creation. Right, Ralph? And that as we take care of our whole family, we need to take care of our animals too. So we're taking care of you, right, Ralph? She's a little bit shy because she's on her new exciting filming time. Okay. Well, are you going to say goodbye to them, Ralph? Huh? Okay. Well, goodbye. Goodbye, boys and girls. And we are thankful for Ralph today and Melvin, Luffy, Bailey, and Rudy. I know. So God bless all of you. Amen. Okay, Ralph.
As we come to our time of praying together as a church body, we want to take some time to remember the requests of those in our community who need our prayers. And so today as we pray, we do so for Diane Boehner, for Barbara Dorrell, for Janice Goetz and Kendra Goetz, for Arlene Mueller, for Susie Rains, for Christine Schroeder, for Larry Thomas, and for Faith Valido. We also want to remember to pray for the family of Lorraine Sorensen, who entered eternal life on March 26th. And we also want to continue to pray for the family of Doris Wallace, especially her daughter Melody, as we mourn with her the loss of Doris. We continue to pray for all of our family and friends in our community, our healthcare workers, our first responders, and our leaders during this unprecedented time of COVID-19. And we want to remember to pray for those who have lost their jobs or who have been impacted financially because their jobs have been closed during this really challenging time in our economy. And so we offer all of these requests, both the ones that have been spoken and the unspoken ones in our hearts, up to God, knowing that God hears us. Let's pray. Surprising God, we come to Easter through the long Lenten journey in which you have called us to examine our inner lives. Then, on Easter, it is as though we have been freed from our darkness to walk in the light with you. However, Easter and its celebration so quickly slide into the past, and we again are tempted to move back into our doubts and fears. Surprise us again, Lord, as Jesus surprised his disciple Thomas, who feared and doubted. Remind us that the signs of Jesus' resurrection are all around us. As we remember this day, our dear friends who suffer from illness and loss, Lord, help us to be a presence of comfort for them. For those who are lost and alone, alienated from family and friends, we ask that you empower us to reach out in compassion, offering appropriate help that will lift them into new life with you. For all anywhere who are in situations of danger, war, and strife, we pray that your peace will be with them and that the warfare and dangers will be vanquished by your good news. For our community, our nation, Lord, we ask that you give the leaders compassion and wisdom, remembering that their lives rest in your care. And for ourselves, we ask for the extra measure of faith so that as doubts arise, we may meet them with confidence and emerge as strong witnesses to your love. In Christ's name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Will you all join with me now in singing our hymn of preparation, number 298, He is Exalted.
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. In his holy name, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise him. King is exalted on high.
Well, here we are, ready for the service today. And oh, I guess I don't need this. I'm sheltered at home. Last week I was privileged and I really enjoyed being able to use an empty church. Ravenswood loaned me their sanctuary, but didn't work out this week. And here we are back at home. And I guess we could look at it like a fireside chat. But I don't know. There's no fireplace in here. It's in my living room. But I feel comfortable here. I hope you feel comfortable as well. I'd like to focus this morning on But God. And that's the title of the message, But God. And I'd like you to think of it in that way as we go through what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning that I hope is exactly what the Lord would have shared with you today. What I'd like to do is focus first on the reading of our three different scriptures that I have for today. The first one is found in the Old Testament out of the Psalms, Psalm 16, 7 through 11. Please hear the word of the Lord. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with a joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Lord, we pray that this morning you will touch us. You will give us the words you would like us to hear. And Lord, we will understand what you have done in giving your Son to us. We celebrated it this past Easter, but here this morning, Lord, we're going to go a little further in looking at why Peter invokes your name and what happens in the book of Acts. Lord, we thank you for this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. There we have read the Psalms. This is a piece of what Peter alludes to when he gets to the Acts as well. And that's the part we're going to focus on. But he talks about being at the right hand. Being at the right hand is something the disciples wanted to be. They wanted to have that favored spot at the Lord's right hand. And that is something that is a recurrent theme throughout the scriptures, being at someone's right hand. And here David in the Psalms says that the Lord has kept him, has held him at his right hand. He will not abandon him to the grave. You have known me. You had made the path of life known to me, filling me with joy and your presence, eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, with that in mind, if you keep that in mind, let's move to the Acts passage, and we will find some of the same verbiage. I will read this out of the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 2, and it's verses 22 through 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Men of Israel, and this is Peter standing and proclaiming. Listen to this, he says. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, there it is, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, and here is the quote from the Psalms. I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And it's not redundant to read that. It is glorious. Peter continues as he's speaking to these men and women, and probably some children. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word out of the New Testament as well. Starting in verse 2 in our passage, we have the miraculous Jesus Christ. Peter alludes to that. And then what happens? He goes right to that passage that I love. In verse 24, and he says, but God raised him from the dead. You see, nothing surprises our God. If we believe in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, in his omnipresence, we know that he knows all and sees all. Verse 23 tells us that his Son was handed over to be killed. This was not a failure. It was the plan. It was the plan from not only the time that he had sent his Son 33 years ago prior during Christmas, but this was it, the plan from when he discovered that the world would not and could not follow a path to walk alongside him? No, not even then. The plan was in place from the beginning of creation when he knew that Adam and Eve could not obey. This makes it particularly poignant for me. when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking, pleading, begging, if you will, his Father, please, Father, let this cup pass from me. He knew all along how difficult this would be. This is the glorious answer to all of the world's problems, the only answer that could possibly be. Some of us have a problem with this, I would say. We say, well, the whole free will thing is a sham. If he knew and predestined all of this to happen, how can we be anything more than robots? Something we've always heard that God does not want. We know that he wants us to have free will. We've heard that. And we know that he wants us to worship him of our own accord. But you see, there is a difference. He gives us free will. But because he is omniscient, knowing everything, he knows what we're going to do before we even do it. It doesn't mean he's controlling us. It just means he knows what we will do. If he didn't know, he wouldn't be God. There would be things hidden from him that he does not know. He gives us the choice, but he knows what we're going to choose. If you will, he knew what you would do in your life in Oak Lawn, or wherever you are right now, thousands of millennia before you even did it. He's not deciding for you, he just knows. You see, he knows all. But God knows all. In verse 24, he turns the world of 2,000 years ago on its head. He raises his son Jesus from the dead. Peter says, but God. And he says that the evil and wicked men of that time couldn't help themselves. They put his son to death by nailing him on the cross. But he, but God, raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Impossible. That's so awesome. He raises his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Peter goes on to explain the marvelous story, the gospel story, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Gentiles that were there listening were moved to the core. Some believed. How many, you say? How about 3,000? 3,000? That's amazing, right? That's quite a group. And let's look at that. This is outside of our text for this morning, but I thought you had to listen to it. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And then here it comes. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to the number of people following Christ and believing in him that day. 3,000. Lord, help our lack of faith that we cannot believe that people will hear your word and just respond, because they do. Help us to believe how much you will bring your salvation to many through the trials the world is suffering, even right now. This is how you bring all things to work for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord. This is what we find in Romans 8:28. This book of the Bible is filled with such marvelous stories of God's work. I cannot contain my excitement when I read what he has done. And you know Romans 8:28, for we know that all things count together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That is the way the Lord changes and turns everything that we might find seems to be a trial and wrong. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And it goes like this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And listen to this encouragement, which speaks to us this very day. Here's Peter going on to say, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And you can take this moment to think of your trials, your griefs. Each one of us has different troubles. Some seem and in fact are greater than others, but each trial is specific to each one of us. I know so many times I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Your trials are so much greater than mine, I should shut up, I shouldn't even be talking." Other times you hear someone else complaining about something that seems like a mere pittance to you, and you go, "What? You can't believe what my troubles are," and you proceed to dump on them, and the person goes away deflated. I say to you, each one of our problems is specific to each one of us. Each one of us handles it in a different way. And that is the beauty of our Lord God. That God that I'm exclaiming about this morning, though, and go, "But God." He sees each one of our needs and he takes care of it. And no need is too small or too big for him. It's specific for each one of us. And he has a relationship with each one of us, doesn't he? No one else can know how much you are impacted but God. No one else. God is the only one who knows. God is the only one who meets you there. Do you find yourself initially enjoying the adventure of the stay-at-home order? It's kind of exciting, isn't it? You go, "Oh, I have to stay home."
Okay.
Then you find that you're getting listless because you've been home and you've been home and you've been home. Maybe you're getting bored or suddenly going stir crazy. I heard someone just this morning exclaiming that he had watched the entire library of Netflix and he was bored. He didn't know what to do next. Well, we know that's impossible. Apparently there's several million movies and TV shows in Netflix. So he was kidding around. But sometimes you get tired of doing the same thing over and over again, trying to have interest in something. Maybe you're even bored and suddenly you're stir crazy. Do you find yourself questioning who you are? Do you find yourself thinking, "I'm just taking up space"? What you ask is the purpose of your life in this world? Do you wonder if you're contributing at all? But God, God is there with you. He is there to minister to your needs. He is longing for you to reach out to him. He's there. He's always been there. He will always be there in the future and time in memoriam. Years ago, I had served as a missionary in Colombia, and I'd done this for many years. I was back in the United States, and I was speaking at one of our covenant camps during the summer. The kids liked my stories of adventure and deliverance in tenuous and often dangerous situations. The Lord was good. And his miracles in keeping me safe spoke to these high school kids. It was affirming to feel that I was encouraging them. I was encouraging these high school kids in the walk of faith, or even encouraging some of them to take a step of faith and devote their lives to Christ, those who had not known him yet. And it was really fulfilling to see that happening. Yet for me, the most poignant moment came when a North Park University student who served as a counselor wanted to talk to me after she'd heard some of my talks. I was there for a whole week. And she wanted to talk to me about her choice of life calling and about the possibility of her serving the Lord for the rest of her life as her vocation. As we met, she expressed her love and devotion to God and what could I do to help suggest paths to explore. And I was a missionary. I had a lot of suggestions, and I was moved by her passion for our Savior. I later returned to my cabin to prepare for the evening talks after finishing talking with her. I reflected once again on this young college student that I had just spoken with, her ardor for the Lord, and I remembered my own zeal, which still existed, but I felt that I was so busy in ministry, that I was just trying to get each day finished. I was just trying to stay ahead of all the demands of ministry. Late in the afternoon, I walked through the woods to the outdoor campfire area where we would have a great evening barbecue meal, and I would deliver the keynote address once it was dark. This was late afternoon, and the trees were beautiful as I walked along the trail. I had my knapsack and my guitar in hand. I felt distant from the Lord as I wished once again for that youthful zeal that I had had to return. And I thought of this student that I'd spoken to and her excitement to begin ministry. And I actually cried out to the Lord. And I said, what good am I anymore? And I asked for his forgiveness for just going through the motions. I felt stupid that this young student was looking up to me and holding me up on a pedestal, and I was feeling so exhausted with the demands of ministry. I stopped on the path, feeling defeated and just looking down for a moment. And then I heard a discernible voice inside my being. And it was not something I was imagining. It was the voice of my Heavenly Father. And he said, but I love you, Mark. And I was like, what? With all of my garbage and my crazy problems wrapped up in my head about what good was I anymore, I heard that voice, but I love you, Mark. And I just stood there as tears filled my eyes. This was my Lord telling me that he was not finished with me yet. And if any of you think, oh, what am I doing? Am I just taking up space? You're here because God's not finished with what he wanted you to do. Take confidence in that. This thing that happened to me was back in 1996. That's years ago. And here was my Lord responding to me in my hour of need. And you know, he's always there for us. I proceeded to that evening meeting and my encounter with the Lord on the path that had been an encounter I will never forget, and one that has forever changed my life. Now, I have chosen our bulletin cover today because to me, it indicates the hope with which we can face the future. We have the cross of Jesus in the picture, which shows us that we can have that hope. It points us to the resurrection. The cross is empty. The Lord has been crucified. He's gone to the tomb, and he has risen. It also depicts in front of the cross a family and friends, because it's a big little group of people, big little, in front of the cross, and they're frolicking in a field. And you know, they are together. Together. I'll say together once again, because we're all apart now. And it's our hope, once again, to be together. We long to be together again. May it be so, I would say. As we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come and save us. Come and be with us. Come and walk with us. Oh, Lord, we want to walk with you. And as we walk with you, help us to reach out to others and show them the love and kindness that is yours. Let us reach out to family. Let us reach out to friends, strangers, and yes, even animals and creatures that the Lord has created. Went through that a little bit with our children's message today. And even as you walk and you observe these creatures, know that the Lord loves them as well. Lord, give us a love for all of your creation. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to know of your never-ending presence in our lives. We have faith in you. Help us when we have doubts. We have been lost in the error of our ways, but God, yes, but you, dear God, are the one who had the plan and the answer to our life's situation. With you, there is a hope. With you, there is a promise. And with you, there is the resurrection in Christ Jesus, and with him, we will also rise. Lord, thanks be to you for your magnificent, wonderful, unmerited gift. Amen and amen.
soul. His blood has covered my sin, I believe. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name, I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer
Let us now offer our confession to the Lord.
Dear Lord, we stand before you today, recognizing that we too had a part in your sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. Our sin and wrongdoing put you there. We try and try and cannot change our habits and transgressions. We confess this to you. We ask that you help our frailty, help our lack of faith. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Help us to rise anew with your own resurrection. Lord Jesus, please live in us and transform us from within.
Friends, hear the words of assurance. Know that the Lord hears your cry. He has forgiven you, and that is certain. He is always before you and at your right hand. You will not be abandoned unto death. Rather, your body will live in hope. You shall, through the Lord's blood sacrifice, know the path of life. You shall be filled with joy in the presence of the Lord. Your heart shall rejoice and be glad. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even as we are physically separated from one another, we can offer the peace of Christ to each other in spirit, and we can continue to offer the peace of Christ throughout our week through phone calls and emails and prayer. And so, knowing the peace that we have because of the great sacrifice of Jesus, knowing the hope we have because of his resurrection, I offer to you all the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The good news of the kingdom of God is that its work continues no matter what the circumstances may be. Despite being in the middle of a global pandemic, God's people are finding new ways to be the church, to reach out to those in need, and to spread the good news. We ask that you continue to pray for and with us as we seek God daily for wisdom and creativity in loving our neighbors and spreading the gospel of Jesus. We are so grateful for the ways that you all give, financially and otherwise, to God's work at Trinity, and we ask that you continue to do so. There is so much good work that your tithes and offerings are supporting, and we need them now more than ever. Even as we navigate uncertain waters economically, we want to be sure that the ministry of Trinity ECC can continue, and that when tough times hit those in our community, we have the resources to reach out both practically and spiritually. Please help us continue the work of God at Trinity through your tithes and offerings. You can give online through our online giving portal, and the link to that can be found in your bulletin, or you can go directly to trinityecc.org/give. You can also continue to give via check in the mail. We do have someone bringing in the mail each day, and those checks will be processed and deposited. Again, we are so grateful to you for all of your continued support of our ministry here, and we are trusting that God will take our gifts and multiply them to be exponentially more than we could have ever imagined.
Perfect. hardly speak peace. So unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. Good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's pray. Lord, we offer to you this day a token of our lives and our substance. Take these lives and these gifts and cause them to work in this world which you have loaned us for the healing and reconciliation of all people to you. May our gifts be used for our neighbor's good and for your glory, God. Amen. Let's join together now in singing our hymn of dismissal, number 259, Christ is Alive.
Is alive, let Christians sing. The cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes with praises ring. Love drowned in death shall never die. In every
now we are no longer held captive by the bonds of death. Go, knowing we are victors of a living hope of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Live in this new confidence, trusting in Him for your daily sustenance and comfort. In the best sense of the word, He is that all-encompassing light at the end of all of our tunnels. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Thank you.